You're listening to the Forest Hill Parenting Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Forest Hill Parenting Podcast, where we want to inspire parents to make faith in Jesus the priority of their lives. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Todd Lesher. I am your host. And today I'm really excited about the podcast because we get to talk to my friend Andy Guda. And we get to talk about the Forest Hill Men's Retreat coming up in October. It's kind of like a BOGO episode. We'll buy one, get one. Andy, it's good to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, Todd. Am I the free one? Or am I the one that people pay for?
We're going to let people decide. Okay. We'll let the listeners decide.
Just curious.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So my wife and I got married in 2001 and moved to Charlotte shortly thereafter. Found Forest Hill pretty much right away. So Aaron and I have been worshiping at Forest Hill for 16 years, which is hard to imagine. But I came on staff with Forest Hill back in 2005 and in January of 2005. I've got a master's in counseling, so I worked with our pastoral care and counseling team back then. And then after about a year, I moved into discipleship where I worked for about 5 years or so. And for the last, believe it or not, 6.5 years, I have been the campus pastor for our Fort Mill campus of Forest Hill, which has been just one of those amazing things that God's allowed me to do in life. It's been awesome.
Yep. It's going really well out there in Fort Mill. Well, Andy is also the speaker for the men's retreat. And we wanted to use this episode to promote the event as well as hear how the message he'll share with the guys on the trip can apply to parenting. So the theme of the retreat is a life that conquers. So Andy, how are you approaching this theme?
That's a great question. We really wanted to build a retreat, spending some time talking about Romans 8. Romans is one of my favorite books of the Bible.
Yeah.
Just a really, really powerful letter. Maybe Paul's most complete theology that he presents in the entire New Testament about what does it really mean to be a Christian? He unpacks it and it talks about some really significant implications that being a Christian should have on our lives. And Romans 8 is just one of those pivotal passages. It's just chocked full of stuff. And honestly, we could probably spend a year of weekends talking about it, but we're going to cram it all into one weekend and really try to get to some of the nuts and bolts in October.
That's great. It's going to be like Romans 8 on Red Bull. Going to be what it's going to feel like.
Romans 8 on route like that.
Well, one of the really compelling marks of Romans 8 is some of these memorable phrases. It's almost like Paul tweeted Romans 8, and they're just these phrases that lock in your mind, and we're familiar with some of them if we're familiar with Romans 8. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, or all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. You know, and those sort of phrases where they stick with us. But like you said, in the context of that whole passage, it deals with a number of topics that are pertinent to men, but they're also really relevant to parents and how we parent. So I would love to give the parents a little preview, because obviously not all the parents are going to be at the men's retreat for obvious reasons. But for those who don't attend, I would really love for them to get kind of an insider scoop on the way you're going to take this retreat and the messaging that you're going to share and apply it, put the lens of Romans 8 on parenting and how it could influence the family. So how would you apply that theme, a life that conquers, to family and the home?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the real memorable phrases that you alluded to that he says in Romans 8 is that we are more than conquerors. Mm. And when you dig into that, what does that mean? It means that we're, I think the word he uses is huper nikon.
Nice.
Which is where Nike comes from. Nike to be victorious, and huper meaning, you know, you're more than, you're more than a conqueror. And it's something that we presently are. It's not something that we have to wait for.
That's
and
good.
The idea that I could be potentially, as a dad of four kids, which I am, somebody who is more than conquering my life right now, and I don't have to wait for me to get my act together, man, that's comforting. It's inspiring. And that's something that really is providing, I guess, maybe a North Star kind of guidance for this whole weekend.
Yeah.
The reason it's inspiring to me is because, like a lot of moms and dads, I experience a tremendous amount of just inner conflict in being a parent. Being a parent is really hard.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of you parents have kids that are just perfect kids. If so, you may want to keep them away from my kids. My kids are amazing, but they're far from perfect, just like their parents are far from perfect. Mm. And so I experience in my own life, and my wife does too, this just agonizing tension sometimes between being the father that I want to be and being the father that I actually am, you know? And there's a huge chasm between those two a lot of times. And Erin, my wife, she feels the same way. There's a big difference between the mom that she wants to be and the mom that she is. And believe it or not, that's exactly how Romans 8 starts out. Mm. Paul has just talked about how, you know, this phenomenon all Christians experience in life. And I would even expand it past Christians, because I think just people experience the inner tension between the person that that they want to be and the person that they actually are.
Hmm. Yeah.
And yet in the face of that, Paul can say there's a reality that is more deeper, I guess, and it's more real for you than that chasm that we're also painfully aware of, all that distance that we have to go.
Yep.
And so somehow what we're going to talk about in October is just how do we cross the chasm and realize that, in fact, we're standing on the other side of the chasm already. Mm-hmm. We've already conquered that distance.
Yeah.
And we're more than conquerors.
Yeah. And I want to reemphasize something that you said about that identity. This more than conquerors is not something to be attained. It is something that we already possess in Christ.
Yeah.
And so the unpacking of that, I mean, it's kind of mind-blowing to think about. But when you put it on parenting, I go, man, it would just be nice to know that I am more than a failure, you know, more than just a failure, right? But Paul is saying you are more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
And we even flip it to go, I am nothing more than a failure. And it's like, whew, if we can change that, allow God to change our identity, and how we approach parenting, how we view ourselves, and even when it comes to winning as a parent, you know, in our culture and society, we put a high value on winning.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of parents go, man, I might be in the L column when it comes to parenting.
Absolutely.
And I wonder, how does our faith move us?
Yeah.
But, well, it really changes the perspective of how we view our parenting and ourselves.
And that perspective on ourselves and our own identity is really where Paul goes in the first part of Romans 8. He really develops two ideas in parallel with one another. He contrasts them against each other so you can really get a feel for, you know, how they relate to one another, how they're different. But he talks about the way of the flesh and how that's what we're aware of when we see the L's in the loss column, you know, and the huge distance we have to go between where we are and where we'd like to be.
Yeah.
Man, that's the way of the flesh. You know, that is where we sense we have tremendous need. But in the face of that, Paul says there's also something else going on inside of us. And that if we are trusting in Christ, if we are believers in Jesus, then we don't have to follow the way of the flesh. We don't have to live only staring at the loss column, because there's something else at work in us. And he calls that the law of the Spirit. Mm. And so that's something I think that most of us, and myself included, we don't spend enough time thinking about the way of the Spirit. Mm. Because in front of us all day long is this way of the flesh, and we see it reflected in the TV shows we watch. We see it in the friendships that we have. And it's born into us, too. We want to be better. But, you know, Paul's saying there's something unique about you. Mm-hmm. You're a different kind of person.
Yeah.
You're a different kind of man or a different kind of woman. You know, you have a life that is a life of the Spirit.
Mm.
And that's where your identity should be found.
Right, right. And he emphasizes those things throughout Romans 8. But let's drill in on one scripture in particular when Paul says, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace.
Hmm.
I mean, that sounds like...
I'll take some of that.
Yes. I think every parent will take some of that, you know? Because my mind at the end of the day is screaming couch,
yep.
TV, Netflix.
Disconnect. You know?
Disconnect. Yep. Exactly. So that life in the Spirit, why do you think Paul starts with the mind? And I think the ramifications for parenting are pretty massive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our lives are governed by our minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are in many ways what we think, what we allow into our minds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what Paul's trying to do here is with the Romans is a challenge to us as well, which is you have an assault on your brain all day long. Mm-hmm. And what's essential for us is to protect our minds, watch what we put into it. And also to, as he would say later on in Romans 12, to make it new, renew your mind,
yeah.
You know, think about things a different way. Mm. So yeah, I think that protecting your mind and experiencing life in peace is one of those promises that comes from that.
And that life in peace phrase almost kind of implies what the culture or what the vibe of the family will be. You know, I love for my home, the culture of my home, to be known by life and peace.
Yeah,
that
especially
would be really
bedtime.
Nice.
Especially at bedtime and right before we leave for school. Man. And probably Aaron wishes on Sundays,
yes.
too,
yes.
Well, before they go to church.
Yes. Yep. Any sort of that. But
yes.
it starts with the mind, and then it kind of dictates how we interact with our spouse or with our children in our home. But the things that prey on the mind, you know, are things like our American culture or the comparison trap. Our senior pastor David talks about that a lot, the snare to compare. But then even personal preference and opinion, how are those things shaping the culture of the family or the home?
Oh yeah, I mean tremendously. I think that you look at competition, for example, and it's hard to live in neighborhoods where you know you have your family pretty much replicated multiple times just on your block.
Yeah.
You know, different faces on the bodies, but you know, you all feel like you're competing to win, I guess, in life. And everybody defines winning differently. And sometimes it's defined materially, other times relationally, by experiences, by the kind of house you live in, otherwise. But these things, they like American culture or our friendships, media, Facebook, these kind of things, they're not neutral entities. They are putting forth a message about what it means to win at parenting, to win at being a mom. What does being a good mom look like? Mm. Well, there's going to be a message that arrives through your phone when you look at Facebook or through the Today Show, if you watch the Today Show, or through something even like Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's something that everything is speaking about what it means to be a mom and be a dad. And if you're not paying attention to what it's saying, if you're not guarding your mind, then it does get you to believe something less than about yourself than who, in fact, God says you are.
Which
in this is what's amazing to me in Romans 8. Paul says that we are chosen by God.
Yeah.
God foreknew us. Before he created the world, he knew us. He chose us. He has decided that we are going to be set free from our prison to sinfulness and to death. He has decided that we will inherit glory eternally. I mean, God has already made up his mind about us, you know? And yet somehow that reality escapes us when we look at how our neighbor down the street is painting their house and I can't afford to do that.
Right.
Or how this family is going on a Disney cruise and, man, we just can't swing it this year, so I'm less than a parent, you know?
Yep, yeah. And there are a ton of parents who are just stuck in that zone or that mindset. And so I love what you said, that God has already chosen us. You know, God has already made up his mind about us. And so how does Romans 8 clarify that or amplify that message throughout the text?
Yeah, so I think he does that a couple of ways. He develops the idea, and then he points to two things, two implications that should have on the way that we live. He says, first of all, that we should be hopeful. I mean, in verses 18 through 25, he really talks about how one of the outcomes of us realizing or allowing our minds to dwell on the Spirit and living in the way of the Spirit is that we should live hopeful lives in the midst of suffering, you know? And he's writing to a church that experienced suffering, like we can't imagine, you know? And so I think for us, in our little ways that we suffer, some of us, and some of us suffer in huge ways, through things that God never intended, no matter what we may be suffering through in life, we can be hopeful in knowing that our performance as a parent, our performance as a man or as a woman is not determined, or our value is not determined on our performance. That God's already made up his mind about us.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. We're his sons, as he said, sons and daughters, as he says earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, those are some of the things that I've picked up when I've read that scripture is I connect with this idea that we've been talking about. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us.
Yeah.
So that the love of God for us displayed in the sacrifice and resurrection of Christ gives us this renewed identity. And then also the identity in the Spirit that we are sons and daughters of God. You know, when I think about that, how would that, accepting that as truth on our lives, influence how we view our children and parent them to go, I'm a daughter of God. I am a son of God. Therefore, when I look at my child, it should totally, talking about renewal, renew our vision and our view of our kids, even when they're driving us crazy or we're acting crazy, you know, as parents. So, and then the last thing is the resurrection.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what does resurrected parenting look like to you, you know, right now? Just a taste of it, not fully as we'll have in eternity, however that looks, looks like. But what kind of thoughts do you have around those ideas?
Yeah, a lot of them. You know, I've got a son who started fifth grade today, mm-hmm. which is insane that he's in fifth grade and a little terrifying. But anyway, so he's starting fifth grade and... And last year, he had a little episode on the playground, and we found out about it, and he had a little confrontation, nothing serious, but, you know, just fourth grade kind of confrontation with a classmate. And, you know, we brought him home, and we talked about it. We heard his side of the story. We articulated the teacher's side of the story, and then we sat down with him and reminded him of his identity and said, son, when you are outside of this house, you represent this house. Hmm. And you represent me and your mother and what we believe in. And I think that you can take that very same perspective with how we should engage our own families. Mm-hmm. We may be positioned in a lot of different places in life, but no matter where we go, including the home, mm-hmm. we represent our father.
Yeah.
Just like my son represents me, no matter where he goes.
Yeah.
So I think as parents, we have the responsibility to represent our father, our creator, to our children.
Hmm.
And I think in context of this, that means that the way we express love to our children is a very, very important issue.
Mm-hmm.
We can express love according to the way of the flesh, using Paul's terms, where we ask our children to earn our love.
Yeah.
You have to perform. You have to be controlled and do things the way that I want. You have to dress the way I want you to dress. You have to... You know, we try to control the mess out of our kids.
Mm.
And being controlled and performing the right way, you will earn our love. Or we can love our children based on the way of the way of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, how most of us love our kids. I mean, you know that even mm-hmm. when your kid messes up, you look at them, you still love them because they're your kid, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
At least when they're little, right? Because they're still cute. But when they get bigger, it's a different story.
Yep.
Yeah.
A little maybe. More challenging love teenager.
I'm still working on the theology of that. I don't know. But it's probably not right. But there, I do think that there's a responsibility parents have to mirror the way God loves us in the way that we love our children.
Yeah.
So I think that's really critical. And then you asked me another question. What was that one?
Yeah.
That was a great one. I just forgot it.
So memorable.
It was. I was just blown away by your first question.
I think I asked you like five questions.
You did.
So it was like an inception
I
question.
I got excited about the question. I couldn't remember the question within a question.
We completely derail this and just, you know, go
just
off.
Just don't tip my chair over.
You got it.
It's a great movie.
Well, let's take that last kind of point that you mentioned about the love of the father. So let's apply it to mom and dad, and then how can they instill it in their kids? So give us just a practical idea or a step for parents to take to either understand that identity, embrace that identity, and then pass it on to their kids.
Yeah, I think to understand it, we have to, as you said earlier, we really have to pursue a mind that's controlled by the Spirit ourselves. You can't manufacture it, you know. It's something that God's Spirit works in you. Mm-hmm. And unless we're really plugged into God's Spirit working in us and being aware of it and listening to it and submitting to it, doing what he tells us to do, then we're not going to be able to fabricate this kind of life. It's mm-hmm. it's something that flows from the presence of God in us. So I think the first thing that we do, probably the most important thing that we do as parents, is to stay plugged in with that life.
Yeah.
And I do that. I do that personally through reading mm-hmm. the scriptures and through spending time in prayer. That's just kind of how I'm wired. But there's a lot of other ways to do it.
Yeah.
My wife is built very different than me, mm-hmm. and she hates the idea of sitting down and studying. Mm. She is far more creative than me and artistic, and she brings God to life for me in a way that is unique and that nobody else does. She's an artist. And so she'll sit and listen to worship music, and she reads a scripture, and she'll paint while she's meditating on the scripture, and she'll paint the scripture.
Yeah.
And in doing that, she finds that she's able to hear God in a powerful way. So I guess what I'm saying is we're all created different.
Mm-hmm.
And part of our responsibility is figuring out how God's designed us and following him in that way.
Yeah.
You know, submitting to that, and so that we can grow in this life of the Spirit, grow our mind in that way.
Yeah. And I think a way to connect it to our kids is find how they're wired and how we can connect the truth of God to their lives as well as we parent them. There's some of that one of our staff mentioned the other day at one of our meetings, and he said that he often wakes up in the morning and first thing he looks at is his phone and disregards his scripture. And he was challenged by this because he said, why would I go to something that is constantly changing? Different views, different opinions, different news all over the place, because it was skewing his time in the scripture. And so he disciplined himself to say, before I get on social media, I'll read scripture because that's unchanging and that's going to influence what is always changing.
Yeah.
And so what you've been saying is to embrace that unchanging identity and the love of God will influence the changing world around us and how we approach specifically parenting.
Yeah.
So I think that was a really compelling way to see, you know, how we approach our spiritual life.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I'm not staying plugged into that, if we're not staying plugged into that, then we begin to believe different things about ourselves based on what's going on in our lives. And that is that's conditional love.
Yeah.
And if we have nothing to anchor us back to our true identity and we believe that we're loved conditionally by God, guess what kind of love we're going to give to our kids? It's going to be conditional love.
Yep.
And they're always going to be wondering, how does mom and dad feel about me today?
Yep.
Am I performing well enough for them?
Yeah. Unpredictable love sucks. You know, it's just, man, it stinks.
Yeah.
What am I going to get today?
Yeah.
But the love of God, you know, we're not perfect. There's no perfect people. There's no perfect parents. So our attempt to love as the Father does is going to be broken, but he is the best example for us to model.
Yeah. And he's also the only way that we can give that kind of love that we all want to give to our kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, we want to love them the best we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but the only way to do that is to be receiving that love from him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been really good. I want to give a couple details about the men's retreat and then we'll wrap up with a final question. So the thing that I'm really connecting with is that every parent wants to be a better parent.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that. And every parent is looking for something to connect with. And and whether it is, you know, they're comparing themselves to someone else, or they're trying to read an article, or they're just trying to track or just make it through the day, at the end of the day, every parent wants to be a better parent. So Romans 8 has got something for parents to go, and it starts with that identity.
Yep.
And so that's probably a really great step for parents to acknowledge and accept, is their identity in God through Christ matters most and will influence how they parent. But then when I think about the men's retreat, every man wants to be a better man.
Absolutely.
You know, and we're sizing ourselves up too. Yeah. You know, we're very competitive and we compare ourselves as well.
And we're all scratching our heads around, what is the identity of a man? Where can it be found? And we're looking to athletes, we're looking to business, we're looking to our wives, we're looking to any number of places. Yeah. And we're always going to come up empty because that's a moving target. Mm-hmm. We were never designed to find our identity in those things.
Yeah.
It's only in our identity being loved by God and God alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only place we can really find an unshakable identity that will last.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's somewhat the test of being a man. A man is unshaken. And so when our identity is firm, then our life is solid. And so if that's any plug for the men's retreat, is the men's retreat is there to help men become better men.
Yep.
But it's not what the world recommends. And so I can't wait for them to hear what you have to share and to experience what's going to be offered.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, we're going to have a lot of questions, and there'll be a lot of discussion and roundtable times as well. So it's not just going to be me talking the whole time. I'm going to try to.
Which would be amazing.
Oh, thank you, Todd. Thank you. Man, I love being here.
Andy Gouda Cruz.
I love the sound of this. As long as I get a sweet suit and maybe I could sing by a piano. If you that out, let me know.
Well, until then, here are the details for the men's retreat. So the men's retreat, the theme is A Life That Conquers. And Andy will be taking the men through Romans 8 and to figure out what it really means to win. The dates are Friday, October 6th through Sunday, October 8th. It's going to be at Ridgecrest Conference Center. The cost for single occupancy is $325 per person. Double occupancy is $220 per person. And you can register online at www.foresthill.org/events. If you have any questions, your campus adult discipleship director will have the information that you need.
Yep.
Andy, do you have any final advice or encouragement for our parents?
Two things. First of all, men who are interested in the retreat, I have checked. There is no University of Tennessee football game on that Saturday. So
perfect.
There's really no conflicts. You should be able to make it just fine. So that's my first little parting shot. The second thing I would like to say in all seriousness is develop the culture that's in you. Find your identity in Christ. Mm. And we all want to make our cultures in our home something that will allow our children to grow and become the people that we know that they can be. But the only way to create that culture is by allowing God to create that culture in you. It's got to start with you.
Mm. That's great. Well, thanks again for being on the podcast. Let me say a prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray a simple prayer. I pray that the parents, the men, the women, the kids of Forest Hill Church, whether that's children or students, whoever they may be, that we would find our identity in you. That's it. And that would overflow into our lives in every area. Pray that the men's retreat is great. Pray a blessing on Andy as he leads that and speaks into the men of our church. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Parent on, parents, you got this.
Thanks for joining us for the Forest Hill Parenting Podcast, where we want to inspire parents to make faith in Jesus the priority in their families. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you showed your support by sharing, subscribing, and rating this podcast on iTunes. To watch our services live or find the campus nearest you, visit foresthill.org.